statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, if you ask me where I come from, here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place. With the stars and stripes and the eagle flies.
Good morning, 510 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It is the 25th anniversary of the horrific attacks on 9/11. I was thinking about this morning when I was driving in, how, you know, and I said this, we were talking about this yesterday on the air as well, but we were talking to Rick Scott, I think, but the idea that people who are under the age of 30 don't remember 9/11. They were taught 9/11, if at all. And, I mean, I know it's kind of amazing to imagine, but I suspect that there are a lot of people under the age of 20, 25 that may not even know what it is. I know it's hard to think that that's true, especially if you, you know, lived through it, right? And you remember it vividly, just like you remember other vivid moments in your life. But that's certainly a possibility that there are, you know, Americans who are 15 or 20, and if you asked them what 9/11 was, and they just, I mean, they wouldn't have any idea. But rather than kind of rushing to judge them, which is, I know it's very easy, or our education system that's failed them. You know, top of the hour was talking about how, you know, only so many states even have a required curriculum to teach people about 9/11, which is hard to imagine, but okay, you know, here we are. I was born in 1971, which seems like a long time ago at this point, 55 years, okay? Pearl Harbor, for me, was ancient history. Now, I know it, understand it, think about it. You know, Pearl Harbor Day for me has always been an important day. I think largely because I was, you know, sort of raised with that and taught that both in school and at home. And, you know, but just for perspective, you know, this is going to be one that's going to kind of mess with your brain a little bit. At least it did with me. I was born in 1971. That was 30 years after Pearl Harbor. 9/11 was 25 years ago today. So if you're a child of like the late 60s and early 70s, you know, if you're a Gen X kid, your knowledge, visceral or otherwise, of Pearl Harbor was entirely acquired through history. And at the time of your childhood, it was only as far from you historically, or you might think of it, it was as far from you historically as 9/11 is from young people today. It's not something that just happened. It's not something that you remember seeing on TV or that they remember, you know, at all. It's just a series of images or references or whatever. And so when we say, you know, never forget, there's another side to that, which is always keep teaching it. But again, it's not realistic in a certain, it's just, and as somebody who believes in knowing history, and certainly when we're talking about global terrorism and the dangers of, you know, Islamic jihadism and, you know, the views that they have, not all Muslims, but that, you know, some of them have about the world and paradise and death to the infidels. it's important to teach it, but it's not realistic to expect people who didn't live through it to understand it the same way that your parents understood the German threat or the Japanese threat. It'll never be that for them because they didn't, you know, they weren't at work or going to work one morning and had to listen to or watch on TV planes flying into buildings and killing 3,000 Americans. So it's the ongoing process, you know, the ongoing challenge of teaching history, of presenting history, of understanding why we are where we are now. And I know it's very easy. It's very natural to just almost have contempt for the idea that, you know, some people wouldn't know what 9/11 was or understand it or remember it. But that's human nature. 437-1620, a moment today when we think about, or at least an opportunity to think about, you know, where we are with regards to the global war on terror. You know, do you feel like we've won it? I mean, I don't feel like it's won at all. And we're going to be talking later on this morning. We've got Scott Janik is going to be here in studio with me for the wrap. You know, John Fay, who's going to be our most likely, I mean, I guess there's still a, you know, writing candidate or something, whatever, Democrat. But, you know, he's going to be our state representative for District 2. These guys were at NES Pensacola, or, you know, I think Scott was, Mongo is his call sign, was, you know, flying out of Whiting as a new, you know, maybe it would have been NES Pensacola, I guess it would have been, as a lieutenant instructor. You know, like, the people who are retired from the military today, most of them, not all of them, I mean, but most of them, are, you know, they were brand new, basically, or had just been, you know, had just, you know, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years before that had just signed up for the military. You know, I was reading a thing the other day that was talking about what was going on that morning. And, you know, one of the things that's almost hard to imagine is we had so gotten used to the Cold War being over that we didn't even really have very much international attack kind of early warning awareness. You know, the detection sites for incoming missiles or a plane attack had basically been cut down by like 2/3. You know, NORAD, which, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, NORAD was everything. And then, you know, by the time 9/11 comes along, we were, gosh, what, 22 years post-fall of the Berlin Wall? I'm doing that right in my head. No, 12 years. Sorry, 12 years post-Berlin Wall. That's a long time. And, you know, a lot of our defensive capability had been abandoned. We just didn't really have, and even at its height, we didn't really have the stuff in place to figure out that there would be a domestic attack using airplanes as missiles. You know, that just hadn't really ever crossed anybody's mind seriously. So when Dan Kane, who was, you know, young Dan Kane at the time, you know, of course, now general, but, you know, young guy was overseeing some of the response to all of this. We just didn't have the capability. We scrambled F-16s, didn't even have time to put missiles on them, and basically they were flying up to run into the planes if they could come across them. You know, this was the Columbia Air National Guard 121st Fighter Squadron in Maryland, and Dan Kane, young officer, squadron chief of weapons and tactics on September 11th, you know, They put up F-16s, okay? And the F-16s didn't have missiles on them, and they're going to take out these planes by running into them was the best they could really do. And they were already, like, had crashed into the building 40 minutes ago because they had no real-time information. They had no ability. I mean, you know, it was long over at that point. Neither pilot had confirmation of that as they took off, hoping to help defend the country. You know, there was a 9-minute response time from the earliest warning of any of this to the planes crashing into the Trade Tower. So it, even on that day, you know, we had no ability to respond to this, not effectively. So just some of the things I'm thinking about this morning as we're at the 25th anniversary of 9/11 and thinking about the future and, you know, there are always the next thing that happens, and often because we forget about the past thing. And I don't know, we're in the war with Iran right now to prevent nuclear weapons from being acquired by Iran. whether you agree with the war or disagree with the war, like the ongoing, what's happening, you know, the price of diesel at $6 a gallon, which is crazy. The price of gas is approaching $4, although in some places you can get it cheaper here locally. You know, we don't seem to be a whole lot closer to winning that war than we were quite a while ago. But what if he hadn't done anything, and what if they had developed nuclear weapons, or what if they had developed a conventional shield against nuclear weapons being, or against weapons being used against them? You know, what if they had killed a couple of million people in, say, Tel Aviv? You know, we had warnings of 9/11, and the warnings weren't taken. You know, the rumblings and the concerns and the buildup and the awareness, just like, you know, some say Pearl Harbor, some say the Lusitania. If you look back through history, any one of these major incidents had the opportunity to be thwarted. And much though I give President Trump a lot of grief over a lot of things that he does, you don't know what didn't happen because it didn't happen. What could have happened if we hadn't gone in preemptively and attacked Iran? I don't know. You don't know. Only God knows. But it's certainly within the realm of possibility that something like even a nuclear attack, because we know that's what they want to do. I mean, we know they want to wipe the Jews off the face of the planet. Like, so, I don't know, just these are some of the things I'm thinking about this morning as we're having another storm this morning as we had last night, and the light at Plantation in Creighton is out again this morning. I don't understand why it's out again, but it is. It got fixed yesterday, and then it's back out again, so just be careful if you're driving that air. It's a four-way stop. Small thing, but be aware. 520 on News Radio 92.3. As you're thinking about this 25 years in, feel free to text me your thoughts, 437-1620, 437-1620. If you are working on a home improvement project or building something, repairing something, expanding, or you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware is a great place to go get not just supplies, not just hardware, but to get advice, to get guidance, to get answers to questions. You know, I would say the best time to ask for advice is when you aren't sure what to do and when you are sure what to do. This is something one of my old bosses always told me. He's like, Andrew, just come for me. Come and ask me what I think when you're sure and when you're not sure. Okay. you know, I knew that. So same thing is when you have a plan for what you want to do for your, you know, renovation project, well, go to Pensacola Hardware and talk to them and say, you know, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing, or this is the problem I have. What do you think? And they'll give you advice. They'll help you do it safely. They'll help you do it inexpensively and make sure that you get the right result that you want. That's the goal. And if you build things for a living, oh, man, they're your people. They speak your language. They can answer your questions. You will not have to have a translator. You know, you won't have to dumb it down for them. They understand. They have been around since 1851, before there was Levi's Jeans, 175 years. Right downtown, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
If you've lived in Pensacola long enough, chances are a piece of jewelry in your life has passed through Beret. An engagement ring, a family heirloom, a necklace that needed a little extra care. For 40 years, Beret Jewelers has been the place locals bring the pieces that matter most. From custom designs to expert repairs to rings that start new stories and more, Beret does it all.
When you're finally off the clock after a long day, dishes put away, kids asleep, feet kicked up, heartburn. Don't let heartburn take over your hard-earned moment. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Nothing works faster for heartburn relief. Alka-Seltzer effervescent tablets begin neutralizing stomach acid in seconds, so you can get back to your one more episode marathon. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Because nothing works faster for heartburn relief. Use as directed.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You need someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now you can meet them fast on ZipRecruiter.
Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
All right. Good morning, 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Interesting case that the U.S. Attorney's Office put out a note about yesterday. We have a guy who got convicted on a weapons charge. And if you just kind of lightly read the story, it sounds like he was making AR-15s with a 3D printer in his home. And you might think, well, why does it matter how he's making AR-15s? If he makes them in his house or somebody else makes them, what does it matter? No. He was not 3D printing an AR-15. He was 3D printing an AR-15 switch so that he could convert a semi-automatic rifle into a fully automatic rifle, something which is not legal. But the ATF, and by the way, there's been a lot of changes in these rules. I expect there will be changes in some of these rules. But undercover ATF officer purchased 12 conversion devices from the defendant two times before obtaining a search warrant for his home. They found the printer, the printing material, 13 additional devices. Think the Glock switch, which is just a little, it's just a little wedge, basically, that goes in the back end of a Glock, and you can hold down the trigger, and it winds up firing in a fully automatic fashion. So you hold the trigger down, it just keeps on firing again and again. Same thing, except for an AR-15. And, there's all kinds of devices, whether it's a bump stock or, God, I don't even remember all the different names for them, but there's all different ways people try to use. Force reset trigger is one. You can actually, for a rifle anyway, you can do it manually just by the way you push forward on the muzzle while you're shooting, because your hand will serve as the bump stock, basically pushing forward as the rifle shoots backwards, and it'll kind of oscillate between the two. You manually doing that, it's not really that hard to do versus having a device which makes the gun into a machine gun so you don't have to really do anything special, just hold the trigger down. Well, one's illegal and one's not. So the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Florida has now convicted him and sentenced him to, they've secured a conviction of sentencing for 20 months in federal prison for the possession of unregistered firearms. 525 on news. I think the reason for the unregistered is because of anything like that, which is essentially a machine gun, you would have to go through the registration process. Really interesting. I don't know. Do I want to talk about this yet? I'm trying to figure out what I want to do this early in the morning. By the way, small note. I don't have the audio cuts. We're not going to go through it in detail. But Jonathan Owens did get all of his legal fees agreed to be paid for by the Escambia County Commission last night. Not without some hubbub. Lumen May's always got somebody he's yelling or screaming about not getting their fair treatment. There'd been an effort to move like $11,000 out of the fees, whatever. But it winds up, 4-1 vote, Lumen against, to pay him his fees. This is, of course, long overdue, obvious, no big deal, not even a controversy. But there's always some kind of a controversy if you're not paying attention, obviously. Florida is suing Netflix over what James Uthmeyer, the attorney general, calls a bait and switch tactic of, on the one hand, essentially promising people that Netflix was a privacy protecting or, information protecting platform that you didn't have to worry about what you're watching and, anybody paying any attention to it. Now it turns out that the allegations are that Netflix collected detailed data on kids and families, designed its products to keep kids watching. Netflix is a little bit different than something like social media, but you still have like autoplay, right? Obviously, if you don't turn it off where it keeps playing things and suggesting things and forcing you to, it cannot force you to watch, but it's encouraging you to watch. So it's designed to keep kids watching, and then which things they watch, which things they don't watch, which things they search for, which things they watch briefly and stop, which things they rewatch. Oh, look, we've learned an awful lot about you, based on how you use the Netflix. And then commercializing that information to launch the advertising business that it promised they would never build with your information. So, yay. In this day and age, I just always assume that whatever you do, whatever I do, whether it's, on my Dish network, I just always assume that whatever I do is probably stored somewhere. If you search for something online, that's stored somewhere. You say, well, no, I use incognito mode. Oh, you don't understand computers at all. Because, this is probably going to horrify somebody, but, you probably ought to know. You think that you're protecting yourself from anybody ever knowing, what you've searched for online. Incognito mode, for example, will protect somebody who is sitting at your laptop from being able to see it, because it takes that information out of your laptop's browser history. Okay, and maybe if you, you know, delete cookies or whatever, you know, if you get really thorough. But you understand that there's a whole series of connections between you and the end website that you use, and between you and Google if you're using, you know, Chrome. And all of that information is all handled by computers that all store data. And that's why, for example, if, you know, the authorities want to go searching for what you've searched for, they start with your computer. Your browser history is clear. Huh. As I saw online, somebody said, you know, a clear browser history says a whole lot more than a full one because you cleared it. Why would you clear it? Okay, but, you know, I mean, it doesn't say specifically, but it sort of says in general. And then if they don't find it on your laptop, they just ask whoever, you know, the search engine that you use, they can ask them for the information. And, I mean, some of them, I suppose, may flush it. Some of them may keep it, maybe permanently, maybe for 30 days. I don't know. But it's, you know, you think it's just on your computer. You're good. No, not really. Just doesn't work that way. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars. I was just thinking about this yesterday, how, you know, we went there and didn't have to go through the big process of meeting a bunch of different people. We were just looking to test drive a car, and we wound up finding exactly the one that we wanted there. Even though we weren't ready to buy it just yet, we wanted to wait about 6 months, but we wanted to test drive it to make sure that way when time came, we were looking for, you know, just price negotiation. Well, Frontier had it. They had it at a smoking deal. I asked them to come down a little bit. They did, and I basically asked them to buy it because it was a unicorn. It's hard to find, but that was the point. They made it easy, and they made me glad about it after the fact. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 29 years behind the big buffalo, right there on Beverly Parkway.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. 25 years since the 9/11 terror attacks.
19 hijackers associated with the terror group Al-Qaeda began a series of attacks on targets in the U.S., the deadliest terror attacks on American soil in the country's history. Almost 3,000 lives were taken that day at the World Trade Center towers in New York City, the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and near Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. The husband of Terry Strada died in the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Earlier, she told Fox and Friends First.
It's actually getting harder as I get older and all of the things that he's missed. When I wake up and I think what's happened in the last 25 years, he has two grandchildren he never met.
President Trump will be at the Pentagon. Vice President J.D. Vance will head to Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan. Last night in Dallas, the president and vice president drumming up support for the party in November at the midterm convention. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 77 degrees here across the area. We'll get a full look at our forecast from Channel 3. That is on the way in just a couple of minutes. Well, the investigation into the drive-by shooting last Sunday outside of a Pensacola smoothie shop is a case study for police and other local agencies that have turned off their license plate reading cameras. Now, that's a move that followed the state ordering the devices removed from Florida's highways. Investigators now say the camera's absence is being felt after that incident at Vibes and Smoothies.
Well, I can tell you that we haven't had any arrests because of that, because they're off. There's going to be more, unfortunately, more instances where we could have used those cameras and we can't. We have to go back, and we're not going to give up. We have the best detectives in the country, and we're going to keep working these calls, working these crimes and these cases. And it may take us a bit longer, but we're going to do what we do with or without the cameras.
And that's PPD's Mike Wood, who says another recent incident involved a report of a woman being forcefully abducted in a vehicle. Nothing came of that report either, he says, without being able to quickly identify the vehicle. PPD's chief has said the department is waiting for legislative clarity before considering bringing the cameras back. A House Oversight Committee is calling on the Navy to launch a long-term study into the brain health of fighter pilots, citing concerns over repeated exposure to high G-forces. The committee says the Navy tracks acute injuries but doesn't have a system to study cumulative brain stress over an aviator's career. pointing to documented cases of memory loss, anxiety, and suicides within the FA-18 community. The Navy's own study of over 8,500 aviators found no significant increase in diagnosed neurological conditions. Lawmakers do say the study can't capture problems that may emerge later in life after service. Well, parrot heads rejoice. This is your weekend. It's a Jimmy Buffett weekend in Mobile.
It must be 5 o'clock somewhere. So goes the iconic Jimmy Buffett song. Now the National Maritime Museum of the Gulf will debut the Jimmy Buffett Son of a Sailor Experience. It's a first-of-its-kind exhibit over in Mobile. The exhibit features more than 130 artifacts, many never seen before, along with concert footage and photos. The exhibit's grand opening set for this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Chris Bryant of News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And right now, again, we do have 77 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
We are going to be seeing scattered showers and thunderstorms today. 80% chance of rain. High near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Saturday, 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms. High near 89. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Heading into Sunday, a 50% chance of your showers and thunderstorms. High near 89 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 77 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Your next news in 30 minutes with breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Anthropic said Alibaba and Moonshot were among Chinese companies involved in what it described as unauthorized distillation of its cloud models. The company said the activity was aimed at extracting capabilities from cloud to help train and improve other AI models. Taking direct aim at Apple's launch of its first foldable iPhone, Samsung fired off a volley of sarcastic jabs on social media, mocking what it cast as a lack of meaningful innovation. Samsung posted, "Let us know when you're done reheating our leftovers." The tech giant broke into the foldable phone market with its first Galaxy Fold in 2019. Chinese chipmaker Enflame, which is developing domestic alternatives to U.S. rivals like NVIDIA, has seen its stock soar 206% after debuting in Shanghai. The company said it plans to use its IPO proceeds to develop and commercialize its next-generation AI chips. Futures are moderately higher ahead of a key consumer inflation report later this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ever notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pet Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real life questions. Pet Talk with Meg,
weekdays 9 to 11
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative local, dependable.
I'm sure you guys saw the media release from PPD with the after the shooting incident at Vibes and Smoothies at North 9th Avenue business. There have been 32 police responses since March at this location. And I know that PPD, and we were aware of that before this incident, has had many meetings with the owners about the atmosphere that is building in and around the club. This has become a nuisance enough that we were seeing recurring breaking of laws and breaking of rules, issues and concerns around this particular location.
So the mayor yesterday talking about this says that Vibes and Smoothies, where we had that shooting where one woman got shot, non-life-threatening injuries, as I understand it. They're looking for a car. That this place has become a nuisance. A lot of calls for service, a lot of crimes going on there, and PPD and public safety is not able to just take a passive approach to this. And not that they've been passive, but, you know, like, we need to do something. He says it's getting to be like the, you know, the Club Climax, like that was when he took over office. So Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Always good to have you. So, you tell me from PPD's perspective, I've never been to Vibes and Smoothies. I don't know anything about it except there was the event and then what the mayor said yesterday. What kind of place is it? What's going on from PPD's point of view?
Well, the name sounds like a great place, and maybe it started out that way, but we've had a lot of calls there, like the mayor mentioned, and over things just from loud music all the way up to, unfortunately, this past weekend to a shooting, a drive-by shooting where a young female was shot in the head, and we're lucky that she's going to be okay. But we've had a lot of calls there, and the squeaky wheel gets the grease. We're going to pay a lot of attention to that business late at night. And, you know, and like you mentioned also, this has happened a couple times before, but what's unique about this particular business is if you look across the street, you have homes. And it's not just, you know, there's residences very close to there. So we're going to pay extra attention to that. And hopefully between police action and speaking with the owners, I know Chief Winstrom is doing that. Hopefully we can come to a conclusion to where the business can keep going, but we're going to have a lot less calls for service at that location.
So it's right in the middle of like nothing. I mean, it's at bars and Ninth. And I don't even know like what do they do? It sounds like, you know, it's an Orange Julius or it sounds like a tropical smoothie. It's what it sounds like. Is it a nightclub? Is it a bottle club? Is it like, what is it?
Well, it's the smoothies is one part of it, but then they also host events. It's an event space.
Okay.
So it could be pretty much whatever it needs to be, depending on who's, you know, what's going on that particular evening.
Do they have a liquor license?
I don't know.
Okay, but there's alcohol, there's drugs, there's bad stuff going on. Like, that's the kind of the characterization, right?
Yeah, it is. That's the issue is crowds form, and then things get out of hand. And, you know, Sunday night, this shooting occurred from Ninth Avenue. You can't – whether you can place it directly on Vibes and Smoothies, I don't know. But the attention is there. The problems have been there. The calls for service have been there.
And you guys had put out that you're looking for a car. You said you think that it's a Buick. It was a brand that I wasn't even familiar with. I actually happened to see one like that somewhere else yesterday. But this is where we're at still in the investigation?
Yeah, it's a white Buick Envista. It's a smaller vehicle. These are popular with rental car companies. So it's a newer model. But the picture is not the best, but it's better than nothing. That's what we have at this point. And we're urging anybody that has any information, if you want to remain anonymous, to call Crime Stoppers or call the Pensacola Police Department.
And the shots were fired into a crowd that was outside. It was through the doors inside. What actually happened here?
Yeah, they were on the parking lot. So we're very lucky. There were 5 to 8 rounds fired, and with one person getting struck, that's bad enough, but we're glad we didn't have 8 people struck.
Wow. Okay. So, and then, you know, since we're kind of in the midst of this conversation, the license plate readers are, you tell me if I got any of this wrong, they are currently off in Pensacola, and so they were not able to be used. Would they have been able to be used in this situation?
Well, it depends on the route, but I would have to guessing because of where this happened and where we know the vehicle made an exit, which was westbound on Bayou, we do believe that they would have been useful in the situation.
And they are currently off, right? The city and the county, like all the cameras in our county are off at the moment, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Okay. Well, this is what we talked about, right? That there's a trade-off in crime fighting and crime solving capability. And, you know, if you're going to ask for them to be turned off, then, you know, understand that there is a consequence to that, right? Because Ninth is a big corridor, Bayou's a big corridor, and, you know, I'm assuming I'm not the first person to raise this question, at least internally, if not externally, right?
Yeah, that's right, and I'm afraid it's going to be a conversation in the future as well.
Okay. All right. We are talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Just to follow up on that, you know, license plate reader thing, we're about, what, 8 or 9 days into the order. You know, the PPD decided last Tuesday, so I guess we're 9 days post shutoff. How is it affecting, if at all, you know, how is it affecting crime fighting, crime investigations? You tell me, you're on the inside of the agency.
Well, I can tell you that we haven't had any arrests because of that, because they're off. And we did have I believe it was on Tuesday morning, we had a call where a person saw a young lady that they believed that was being abducted, being taken and put into a car forcefully. And that's something, again, that we would have looked around for that vehicle, and we didn't have those cameras. I don't believe anything ever came to that. A lot of times you'll see a teenage or younger child that jumps out of the car, and the parent has to force them back in, which it could have been that situation. But we just don't know. But there's going to be more, unfortunately, more instances where we could have used those cameras, and we can't. We have to go back, and we're not going to give up. We have the best detectives in the country, and we're going to keep working these calls, working these crimes and these cases. And it may take us a bit longer, but we're going to do what we do with or without the cameras.
And, you know, of course, that's something that people have said is, well, did we not have crime fighting before this? And the answer is, of course we did, and we still do. And there's lots of tools that the police have, but this is proven to be a very effective one. And yet, of course, as we've talked about many times, the trade-off concerns about being able to travel freely, not being monitored by the government, and abuse of that network, if it ever came under the control of political leaders who made rules that were really, you know, violating people's rights, and what would the law enforcement do at that point? But as I said many times, this is going to be the trade-off, is crimes will go unsolved or get solved slower, or, you know, exigent circumstances will drag out because we don't have that ability. And, you know, here we have a couple of them already, which is, we're adults, you know, if we're going to make choices, we have consequences. So, Mike, we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, let's talk about the colors of cars. And one of the myths is that red cars are targeted by police. First of all, we're not targeting anybody's car because of the color. If the radar picks up or the laser picks up a vehicle speeding, we could not care less what color that vehicle is. But statistically, it's white vehicles that get pulled over by the police the most. And that is because white vehicles make up roughly between 25% and 30% of all vehicles on the road. So it has nothing to do with the color. It has everything to do with the amount of white vehicles that are on the road.
Oh, so this is just a lesson in statistics. It's like the, you know, men get more tickets than women because they're bad drivers. No, because men do more of the driving. Like, if you just, you know, white cars get more tickets because there are more white cars.
Yeah, and sometimes you can argue that traffic crashes happen more on beautiful sunny days than they do on rainy days, and that might be because people are paying less attention on nice days and more attention when the weather is bad. So there's lots of myths out there. And another one has to do with the colors of cars that are involved in crashes. And the car that is involved in the most crashes, the color that is involved in most crashes, is gray and silver. And that is because that color blends into roads, concrete buildings, and gray skies. Also, gray vehicles become very hard to see during fog, rain, snow, or overcast days. So people tend to not see those vehicles as fast as they do others. But also, here's another one. This is just for dawn and dusk. Black vehicles are 12% higher at dawn and dusk than other vehicles to be involved in a crash. Gray vehicles, 11%, silver, 10%, and red and blue, 7% higher risk during those hours.
You know, as I like to say, it's not gray, it's road camouflage. You know, my car is gray. My wife always says, why would you want a car that's the color of the road? I'm like, yeah, I know. But cars are less colorful these days. You've been a cop long enough to know that, you know, the oranges and the greens and the yellows of yesterday are just not common anymore. It's white and black and gray and silver are the dominant colors on the road, right?
Yeah, they are, but the colors are coming back. I'm a truck guy, and I just saw the 27 models that are coming out, and some of these oranges and reds are back. Some of these bright blues are back, so we'll see what happens with that.
You know, and it is interesting. You mentioned, you know, the high frequency of crashes at certain times of day, and as you said, you know, bright and sunny days, it's a different it's not necessarily because they're hidden in the rain, although that can be true as well if you don't turn your lights on as you're supposed to do when the wipers are on by law. But, you know, it's also the fact that people are paying less attention. I don't know if you heard me talking about this, maybe it's last week, but one of the weirdest stories I came across recently is that on album, big album release days like Taylor Swift and Beyonce and, who's the singer that sang at the Super Bowl? I just can't think of his name. Bad Bunny. That on big album release days, there are more deaths, actually, you know, a significant number more deaths on the roads, statistically significant number, because people are distracted paying attention to the album instead of doing the driving. It's weird things like that that you wouldn't think of that affect people's ability to drive safely, right?
Yeah, it looks like we learned from each other. I didn't know that one, so I'll put that one in the old bank for future use. But but the thing about it is, what started everything on all these crashes began with the cell phones, and it's just, you know, there's touch free, hands free, however you want to call it, but we still are focusing on the conversation more than we are driving, and it ends up in crashes, especially with our young people. So we will tell parents until we're blue in the face to please your new drivers, no cell phones. No other teenagers in the cars, because unfortunately we see a lot of young people lose their lives or being seriously injured in crashes because of distractions.
Absolutely. It's so important. And by the way, you know, we had an incident in Escambia County. I think it was not in the city, where a young child got hit crossing a road at a school bus stop. I know it's still fairly early in the school year, and I think, like I said, this is in the county, not the city, but can you just, you know, in your sternest cop voice, can you please remind people to please pay attention, be safe at these bus zones?
Yeah, because that's one thing we will not give you a break on, that and car seat violations. You're not going to get a break. It's very expensive, and it's incredibly dangerous. That's why those laws are in effect, incredibly dangerous to our children. And, we can't emphasize that enough to please pay attention around the school buses and the school zones, because we are. And if you get a citation in there, it's not cheap at all.
And just for people who do not realize, I've often mentioned that in the state of Florida, you cannot get written a ticket for being 5 or less over the speed limit. You have to be 6 or more over. They can stop you and warn you, but you cannot get a ticket. In a school zone, it's 1. If you go 26 and a 25 or 21 and a 20, it's 1 mile an hour in a school zone. There is no gray zone, right?
That's correct. So that's something that we obviously take very, very seriously.
And rightly so. All right, Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time. I always appreciate the information and for what you do to keep us safe. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, and be careful in that gray car.
I was actually thinking about it afterwards. Like, my dream paint scheme would be gray digitals, you know, like the modern camouflage you sometimes see on fighter jets. The F-22, I think, is the sort of the most famous version of this. But, you know, that would only make my car even less safe, because it's that much harder to see as it's operating on the roadway. It's 551 here on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying a home or selling a home or doing both, as is common enough. But, you know, I don't know, maybe you're buying your first home. Maybe you're selling your last home. Because you're moving into you want to get a condo or something like that. I mean, I don't know, downsizing, upsizing, picking up a vacation rental, all kinds of reasons people do residential real estate transactions. Well, this is obviously a big financial. This is a big choice in your life, and you want to make sure that you hire an expert to help you with it, who's going to do it well. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, they are those folks. Now, she was even talking about this yesterday on Pep Talk. Like, you do a roof repair, or maybe a health issue or whatever, you go and get what? More than one opinion. Well, same thing for a real estate agent. You know, you don't have to just hire the one person you happen to know. Call a couple of people. Just, I'm saying, include her on your list. I would never tell you to hire her just because I said so. But do talk to her because I said so. And then you decide for yourself what makes sense. I mean, she and her team last year sold 206 homes. That's 4 a week on average. In the past 12 months, so calendar year 2025, 206. Last 12 months, you know, August through August, 270. So they've increased actually to 5 a week, which is a crazy number. But it means that they learn, they know, they get experience, they solve the problems, they avoid the problems, they get you all the way through to closing. I mean, we talk about price maybe, but also think about just the satisfaction of actually selling the home versus the stress of not selling and not selling and not selling. And, you know, how much is it worth to you to just have your home get sold in, say, 2 weeks or 3 weeks instead of, you know, sitting for 4 or 5 months? Even if it gets sold, you understand the pain of that is a lot worse. So just call her and talk to her and ask her opinion. 786 786- $39.96 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinky Realty.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Good dental health starts at the beginning of life. For infants, wipe their gums with a clean, soft cloth after feeding and make sure to schedule your child's initial dental visit before their first birthday. As your child grows, make sure they brush twice a day and floss before bed, limit sugary snacks and drinks, and schedule regular dental checkups. Focusing on healthy dental habits early helps children grow into healthy adults. Visit floridahealth.gov/dentalhealth to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Markley Van Camp and Robbins. MVR. Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
So true, John. Nothing makes a woman feel more like a girl than a man who sings like a boy.
Good morning, 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We are yet again in the middle of one of these, like, very early morning thunderstorms. I was talking to my wife yesterday. She put out one of these rain meters out on our fence because she was always kind of curious, you know, what's the rain like locally? And, I mean, she said we got, like, 2.5 inches the other day. Good Lord. I mean, that's a lot of rain. It's just sudden and surprising, and there you go. Just as a safety note, if you're driving in the vicinity of Creighton, west of the BJ's, west of Davis Highway, the light at Plantation is out again 2 days in a row. You know, I let the county know about it yesterday, and it was working right by the time I left work at 9 a.m., but, it's gone off again, so here we are. Oh, you know, I did something yesterday. I was driving in the vicinity of 29 near W Street, and it occurred to me about the demolition going on at the old Sam's Fun City, or what's it called? Splash City Adventures, I think, is what the more recent rename. It was always Sam's Fun City to me, and so that's how I referred to it, even though I know they changed names, changed ownership, or whatever. It's so sad. I mean, I went by there. I drove by, and I stopped, and I got out, and I shot a video. It's up on our Facebook page if you want to see it. But It's just gone. And it's like in partial demolition phase. And you know how when something is being demolished, like when it's all gone and it's just a field, in some ways that's not as heartbreaking as a thing that you once loved. And then you see it kind of halfway torn down. And that's where it is right now. If you've ever been in there, when you go in the front and there's like the games and then there's the laser tag and then there's the cafeteria and the games back there and where you get your ball for your miniature golf, like that building is just gone. But the big kind of, open air hall that's adjacent to that where they have big parties, that's still standing. So it's like half missing. And then you think about what's not there. And the same thing in the back, like the Ferris wheel is gone, but the, a lot of the slides, for the water slides are all there. But then if you walk towards the front, this was the one that really got me. And it's always just, I don't know, it's interesting which things kind of catch you emotionally. I was walking up towards the front. There's a, you know, perimeter fence, whatever. But walking towards the front where the go-karts used to be, and it's just big piles of rubble and a giant pile of tires. And so you can literally see where the old overpass would have been, where you drove over and then you came back around and under. Like, that's all just piles of rubble. You can still see the either side of it, but not the actual overpass itself. And all I could think about was like, oh, man, how many dozens or God knows, I don't even know, hundreds of times did I drive that route with my kids, you know, having fun, racing go-karts with the boys and my wife. And, you know, how many times did we go play miniature golf and see those beautiful trees that are back there, which are so far standing, and I sure hope they stay. But they've got beautiful, huge, old heritage oak trees out in the front of the property, too. So, anyway, it's kind of like when I talk about celebrities that passed that made us laugh or made our lives richer because we enjoyed the contribution that they made to us. It's the same thing here. You know, I believe in capitalism. Capitalism means that sometimes the thing you like goes away, you know, and it's going to be replaced by some other thing. And that's sad for the thing you lost, but other people enjoy the thing that comes. I mean, that's just the nature of it. I get that. Doesn't mean I can't be sad about the thing that's gone and the memories that it reminds me of and all the times when we'd go there with our boys and just have fun. And the employees who were, you know, I'm sure underpaid and hot and annoyed to have to deal with people like us, you know, I'm sure. But playing laser tag and playing video games and miniature golf and go-karts and go-karts and go-karts and go-karts. It was fun while it lasted, and now it's piles of rubble. But I am appreciative of the thing that we had while we had it. All right, Brother Andrew is going to talk about the $5,000 Trump giveaway coming up in 20 minutes.
Every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Pretend Trump is on the ballot. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That is what the president's message was closing out the first ever Republican midterm convention in Dallas, where Vice President Vance delivered the keynote address last night.